You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Just having a chit-chat with my friend Walter. Walter Rassi from Renovco is here in studio. Walter, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Saturday.
It is indeed a happy Saturday.
Yeah.
Every Saturday that I spend with you is a happy Saturday.
Oh, stop, stop, stop. Just write me a check. Your drive-in was uneventful. That's good.
Yes, it was great. Okay. There was no snow, no plows, no traffic.
How's your street?
Clear? My street is not bad.
Okay.
I mean, I live in Bedurfi, so it's big streets, and they don't take out the snow. What they do is they just blow it on people's yards. So
Okay.
It's not bad.
Can we go right to the phone? Do you mind?
Of course.
All right. We're going to go to Erica out in St. Lazare and bring her in. Hi, Erica.
Hello, Ken and Walter. Good morning.
Good morning.
So here's the story. My house is 2005 built. I got the roof redone in 2015, and it was a very good job. The guy was an independent contractor, and he did extra, I guess it's called the ice shield. He put like 6 feet instead of three. So anyways, he did a very good job. I never had a problem with the roof. Last year, I had a couple of shingles missing. And we're talking about the garage now.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of shingles missing from the middle. It was too late in winter to have it repaired. So, and that's when I noticed icicles on the coming from the gutters on the garage, and then just on the side of the house beside the garage. So I thought maybe it has something to do with the fact that those shingles are missing and you know, because of that. So I got those shingles replaced. I just noticed now in the past week, same icicles, not along the side of the house, but just on the garage again. And so I'm wondering, I know what the problem is, but my question would be, when the roof was done in 2015, I also had the roofer go into the actual garage up. So there's like a way to get up in there, you know, into like an attic. And he added insulation and he put new plywood because some of it was getting rotten and all that. So at the time, a really good job was done on the insulation and everything. So my question is, why is this happening now? And shouldn't something like that last a long time? Longer than 7 years.
Okay. that's a great question, and it's something, unfortunately, that we see often.
Uh-huh.
Now, the good thing is that you have a garage attic, and you have an access to that attic.
Yes.
Because that's usually not the case in a lot of places we visit. So the garage... The problem sometimes, I don't see your home, so I don't really see the roof lines. Sometimes when they do the pitch or the angle of the roof on a garage, they don't do a very sharp or steep angle.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells me the fact that he felt obliged to put you a 6 feet ice shield membrane.
Around the whole roof of everything,
correct.
Not just the garage. He was trying to be very good about it.
Okay, but...
Yeah.
Usually, I mean, that's very good practice. The code only stipulates 3 feet,
right.
But in 80% of the roofs, that is not adequate or enough,
okay.
Especially for our weather. So 6 feet, in my opinion, should be the minimum. They should change those standards. Unless you have a very steep roof, then it's not necessary. But the fact that he put 6 feet... potentially your angle or your slope on the roof, especially the garage one, is not as steep. So where you might have the issue is where the insulation and the soffit meet.
Right.
And there's a way that you can see that yourself. You just have to poke your head up there and see if you can see actual daylight.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what happens in these cases is one of two things. When they see that they can't put, let's say they put you an R40 in this area, that's what it would be the minimum for your attic. As a matter of fact, it's R50, the new code, well, the newer code. What they do is they end up putting, either they cut the insulation in half, they end up putting R20 in this area, or maybe even as low as R12, simply because they can't force all the insulation there. And that creates condensation. The hot and the cold start meeting each other, and you're going to have the problem with condensation, which cause other problems as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the first thing I would like you to look at. And the most important thing, adding insulation sometimes, in a lot of cases, actually can make the problem worse. If you are blocking your soffits in the process, now your attic is not breathing, and you're creating all kind of other slew of problems, right? Mm-hmm. So not because they went into the attic necessarily they knew what they were doing, because they're roofers. I'm not saying every roofer doesn't know, but they're not insulation experts. So, yes, okay, they stuck in insulation. Did they put stereo vents? So the insulation was the... Don't forget, the soffit, and that's very important. The guy could have done a good job when he put the insulation, okay? But if he doesn't put baffles or stereo vents, in windy days, there's air that goes into your attic. And that's a good thing. We want the attic to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Which means the insulation gets flown around. Okay. It moves. So when that moves, that's when we start having problems. Sometimes we have electricians go up there as well to do some work or whatever, and they move insulation around. So that's something that we have to regularly check just to make sure that nothing moved or it's not in the right location, or we don't have a gap that is creating a thermal bridge between... The hot and the cold. The other issue that I would look at is the ventilation. Did he put a maxi vent on top when he changed your roof?
I think he did, yes. I've got a couple of those.
Okay. A couple on the garage?
I've got one on the garage, and I think, like, he added some extra ones and somewhere else on the roof of the house. I can't remember exactly where, but I remember that specifically.
Okay. So, I mean, again, the way you're going to see this is because you're going to feel the air circulation in the attic when you're up there. Mm-hmm. So if your insulation is good and your roof is good and your ventilation is good, that and the soffits are unblocked, so we have good... air flow that's going in there, unobstructed, very important. Then we're going to look at what's happening. Meaning, we've been having a lot of thaw, good weather, bad weather, cold weather, and what have you. Gutters are freezing up. So we are seeing more icicles than we would see in a normal, typical year because of these events. Now, how big the icicles, how concentrated they are, that's another story. But it's not as worrisome when you see all your neighbors, they have the same issue because of just the weather pattern. Okay,
so yeah, it could be they just don't. An occurrence.
They don't.
I looked.
So then you definitely have an underlying issue.
Yeah, because if I, like you said, go and look in the... poke my head, see if I see light. If I do see light, then... that means, how is that fixed then? If I see light, that obviously means that air is escaping, so heat is escaping.
No,
but
on the contrary.
But my garage isn't heated, just FYI.
Erica,
I don't heat it.
It's in the contrary. You want to see light in the attic.
Okay. You want to see
And you want to see continuous light. Meaning, when you look, when you do a 360 turn, you want to see light coming from the whole area.
Okay.
Not just, you know, whatever you have soffits. Let me just...
Mm-hmm.
Or the intake of the roof is.
Okay.
You want to make sure that wherever the intake is, wherever the airflow comes in, you want to have unobstructed light. There's no insulation that is escaping. And if I
don't see light, then does an insulation guy come in? How is that fixed?
I mean, even any handy person that knows what they're doing, you don't have to have necessarily an insulation guy.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that you have, again, the baffles, so things don't move again. But what you also want to look is, what did this roofer do? And that's the most critical space between where the soffit and the roof meet, because that's usually a very tight spot, especially when you have a low slope roof. So humans can't really, unless they're really tiny, can't really crawl into those tiny corners in certain cases. Mm. So what did they do? Did they just ignore it? And they did the center of the attic, the easiest part, because that's where they can get to. And that becomes a worry for me, because if you would have, if there was an issue there, an underlying issue in those areas, he should have told you. And there would have been ways, while they're doing the roof from up there, to solve this. He could have shimmed it, make it higher. They could have
There were options.
Applied urethane from the top. Mm. So there would have been a lot of things. Now it's too late. You have brand new roof, so you're not going to work from the top, because you can't really work from the bottom unless you take out the drywall and then start working from the bottom up. Is that that's only in the areas where you can't get to, you can't crawl to, there because of the tight roof angles.
Erica, I think we're up against the clock. Yep. Have we helped you out in any way here?
Yeah, you have a little bit, so I'll have to think about what I can do about that. But thank you so much. It was helpful information.
All right. Thanks, Erica.
Thank you.
Bye now. 514-790-0800 to talk to Walter here for the full hour from the Home Improvement Show. It's Ken Connors, Walter Assey from Renovco. Let's get to Jill.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on a whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
All right, 922, our number, your number to call and talk to Walter live on the radio and get some free advice. 514-790-0800. Eva's on the line from St. Dorothy. Eva, good morning.
Good morning.
You want to talk to Walter and ask him about your heat pump. What's going on there?
Well, you know, I bought the, are you the right guy to talk to now?
I'm Ken. I'm the host of the show and the star, okay. And Walter is the expert.
Ken is always the right guy to talk to.
Okay, sorry. The problem is my heat pump, there's a buildup of ice in the interior where the blades are. And then the blades, of course, don't turn and they hit that. And luckily, I went outside and I heard it and I stopped it. Now, I'll go to the history of the heat pump. I bought the heat pump on April 3rd, 2019. The first year, lots of ice accumulated inside so the fan belt could not turn properly. Banging noise. I turned it off and called for a technician from the company I first purchased it, the heat pump. A technician came and looked at it, then asked me for a pail of hot water. So, of course, I gave him the pail of hot water. He was able to clear the ice off with it. I can't remember what was said, but the company did install a new motor. But again, I had the problem of ice buildup, but the weather got warm and it melted. So it seemed it was okay. Last winter, it worked. This year, lots of ice buildup. I stopped it and called same company and was told to pour hot water on it. Pump working okay now. I want this fixed for the future. Since new motor installed, I have not seen my heat pump on defrost mode. Is this problem fixable? Could the new motor not be compatible with the defrost mode?
It's a good question. It's not normal a brand new pump is causing those problems. It's supposed,
well,
like you said, it's supposed to go on defrost mode, and it's supposed to defrost itself. So you could have problem with the free start. You could have problem with the actual unit being compatible with the furnace. I don't know if they're two different brands.
I don't know. I don't know about the brand of the motor. I didn't look at that. The technician just came in.
No, I'm talking about the actual furnace in your basement versus the heat pump outside.
It's a heat pump outside.
Okay. What I'm talking about more about the brand of the heat pump. And
it's a Lennox.
Lennox. Oh, it's a Lennox.
And how about the furnace?
In the furnace?
No. I told you it's outside of the house. And
okay,
the exterior,
but you're not understanding
me.
I understand.
It's not in the basement, like heating the whole house.
Oh, it's a split system.
Pardon?
Okay, I got it. It's not a heat pump then, because you said it was a heat pump.
Oh, I thought it was a heat pump.
Yeah,
sorry.
If it's an air conditioning, that's a different story.
It's air conditioning and heating, both together.
Okay. Is it the split unit?
Well, I guess that's what it is. It cools the house, and the heat pump works very good when it's working.
Okay.
It heats my house well, and it's quiet. It's very nice.
Okay. So the good news for you is you're still under warranty because, 2019.
Yeah.
Usually it's the least amount of heat pump warranty that I've seen. The shortest one is 5 years. And, the longest one is 10 years. So you're within that range. What I think is you do have a problem either with the install or you have a problem with the free start or anything like that. But we can't really scope it from here to tell you what the problem is. I think you should call them. It's not normal that you have to pour hot water. I've never seen that before. I mean,
it's unbelievable. There was so much frost on the end, you know, of it. And then on the back, it was just covered completely with ice.
Let me ask you, is there any cover on top of the machine or is just exposed?
No, there's no cover on it. Nobody told me to put
a
cover.
No, there's no necessity. I mean, sometimes it's done as an additional precautionary measure. Mm-hmm. But again, it should defrost itself. So I have a feeling the defrost mode is not kicking in or something is not right.
Yeah, why wouldn't it ever go on a defrost mode?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
At least the first one I had, the first one before they changed the motor, it did go into defrost mode. Yeah. And you would know when it went into defrost. It made a different noise.
So my advice is don't communicate with them by phone. Send an email, and I want you to list, since the installation, what happened. The first year what happened, the second year what happened, the third year. Mm-hmm. So you have a type of a log that, you know, in case they want to kind of buy time until the fifth year, because that's what you're guaranteed for, you have kind of a pre-logged situation that the warranty should keep on going on.
Okay.
But ask them that you want to have
a registered letter. I should send an email.
Well, email and registered
letter. Sending a registered letter.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. That's number one. And ask them for a long-term solution. Not pour hot water and come and go and okay, that's what you need. You need to really know. You need them to check the defrost mode. You need them to check really the installation if everything was done right. If the heat pump itself was installed nice and level to the ground, it's not on an angle or because
it seems to be installed very level and well on the house.
Okay.
That seems to be okay.
Fine. So it's elimination process, right? Mm-hmm. So have that conversation with them, see what happens, and keep us updated. I'm just going to be curious to know what was really the issue in this case.
I don't know, but anyways, I did call them. They were going to call me back. They did not call back on it. And so I guess I better get right at it. Is there anything more that I wanted to ask you right now on that heat pump? I don't know. It has given me this problem.
Eva, the only reason you should be boiling water is to have a cup of tea, not to be...
Well, I was having a cup of coffee.
Unless you bought a manual defrost type of a feature, which you have to manually defrost it yourself. Which
No, I don't. I didn't. No.
That's not... No, you shouldn't be doing that. Trust me.
I shouldn't be doing that. I'm pleased with it. I like it. It's quite good in the summer. It works. It cools my house beautifully.
Send that email and like Walter says, document everything. So,
I wanted to say. I think they're documenting everything themselves, because I've been calling them and letting them know everything. And they always say, I'll have to pay for the technician if he comes. If they do anything on it, it'll be covered. But the technician's cost will be mine, which is over $100. So, I wanted to be sure before I bought the technician if there was something he can do, but if there's not, I don't want to have him come to the house. So
that shouldn't be the case, Eva.
No?
It shouldn't be the case. They shouldn't be charging you money for that. That's still under warranty. It's a problem that occurred the first year that you installed it.
It is a way to
discourage you and to try to make money out of it. But the fact of the matter, your system is completely under warranty, not just a compressor. It's usually 5 years labor and material.
I think mine's up for 12 years or something.
Yeah. That's even better. Yeah. So you could definitely escalate. Start by a registered letter. Yeah. And see what happens.
Eva, we have to go because news is up, but I hope we were some help for you this morning.
Okay, right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck with that. It's 9:31. Let's head to the newsroom.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Good morning. It's 9:37. Lisa and the Car Show on the way, of course, right after the 10 o'clock news. It's Ken and Walter here during the Home Improvement Show. You might be hearing this, a Renovco ad on the radio station, where Walter takes a minute to thank the Renovco customers who have shown their great support for the company and trusted them over the years. And this all comes from a recent Suburban poll where they looked at different companies in different categories, and Renovco came out on top of, in terms of the good contractors, right?
The best contractor.
Best contractors.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's really a great honor because I know that thousands of, did the survey, mm-hmm. and scores have voted. So, I mean, it's a big thank you. It's a big honor. Just puts good pressure on us to even perform better, and we are putting even better measures now for the ensuing year to go above and beyond the call of duty.
Like absolutely, this. Right. Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
Right, now we're going to put you back to work. You ready?
Of course.
We're going to Point Claire. Is that you, Kitty?
Yes, it is.
What is going on with your hot and cold water?
About 2 months ago, it started. I turned my cold water on, and mm-hmm. about 15 seconds later, it goes to very hot. Mm-hmm. And then 15 seconds later after that, it goes back to cold. It's on every tap I have, and I don't know why.
Okay. I mean, usually when the temperature fluctuates, it's the pressure balancing valve that might be defective. So your pressure balancing valve open and closes depending on your water flow and your plumbing system. If cold or hot water levels drop, a broken pressure system could cause that drop in pressure or water temperature. So you want to have that checked out.
By a plumber?
Yeah. Usually it's by a plumber just because it's a bit more intrusive, and you know, unless you're extremely handy and good in plumbing. But you know, the good news is it's not expensive to replace. Just maybe getting the plumber there is a different story. But that's the first thing you would want to look at.
So is that an every tap that I have to have that done, or is that just one specific place where?
Well, I mean, usually that it's probably started somewhere. Like I can't tell. Does it happen when you have more than one tap open usually, or it's usually just one?
When no, it doesn't matter. Like I turn the kitchen on and it happens, and then if I go upstairs and I turn the tap on there, it happens too. It happens everywhere.
Okay. So, and how about
it isn't just that when I turn the kitchen on and it goes hot and cold, yeah. and I go to the others that it doesn't do it. It does it everywhere.
It does it everywhere. Okay. And how about your hot water tank? How old is it?
Oh, that's about 5 years old.
Hmm. So it's not old at all. That is a bit of a mystery to me, to be quite frank, because usually if when it happens to one particular faucet
right.
to have it in the whole house cascading like this. I've never particularly heard of that one. So I will be getting in touch with one of my master plumbers, and I'll ask him his opinion because I've never personally faced an issue like that. But usually it's like I said, it's either a hot water tank issue per se, especially if the hot water tanks are older, but in your case, they're not, so it shouldn't be doing that problem.
Mm.
How long has it been happening, though?
For about 2 months now.
Okay. So it's fairly
I was hoping it would go away, but it never did.
Okay.
So
let me take this down as a homework, and I will definitely get back to you on that.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Kitty.
Thanks, Kitty.
Okay.
9:41. I'm going to bring in Ed, who wants... Ed, are you still there?
I am.
Hi, you wanted to do a follow-up on that call we had from Eva, right, about her frost problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I had a similar problem, a new system that was put in, and I tolerated it for a couple of years. Same thing. They came in and hot water to defrost the heat pump. It turned almost into a block of ice. It was incredible.
Wow.
And then it would work fine. And next year, same thing. So finally, I was fed up. And I said, okay, you guys got to do something about it. And they sent the company sent in their top techie guy. And I'm telling you, he probably spent over the course of a week close to 3 days. And finally, they did, you know, doing all kinds of tests. And finally, they determined that when the installation was initially done, it wasn't done properly, and that it had affected the compressor, and they ended up changing the compressor, and haven't had a problem since.
So it was an install issue.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. I mean, he spent so much time, you know, going through one protocol after another to eliminate any other possibilities. But in the end, that's what they determined, that the, you know, obviously compressor is a very expensive part. So they were not inclined to necessarily have to change it. So they went through all the protocols. And finally, in the end, that's what it was.
Working like a charm now?
Like a charm.
So, I mean, that's thank you for the call, Ed, because that kind of sheds light on why they're kind of, if you want, hesitating in sending the tech, because you know it's going to be a process. Usually it's a mistake in the install itself, so it's a loss for the installer, for the installing company, or in your case, like you said, the parameters of the defrost had to be reprogrammed and what have you. So that's why you have to be, as Ed said, you have to be a lot more insistent to get them there and show them that you mean business.
Yeah, I really liked your comment for the person who called, you know, to go on record certainly before the end of the warranty, although she was in fairly early after the purchase, but to go on record and to have it documented that this is a problem, because if it came up again, it's something that hadn't been resolved, so it should go under the warranty.
Very good. Ed, I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoy your show.
Thank you very much. 514-790-0800. We're going to try to sneak in Lou. Lou, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we got 2 minutes before we got to get to traffic, and if not, we'll carry over to the other side. So you have an issue with water softeners.
I'm actually doing some plumbing rentals in the house. Had an issue with hot water lines, cold water lines. They've been replaced, and I'm redoing bathrooms now. And our water is very hard. So I'm kind of looking around seeing what there is for water softeners versus water conditioners, the under sink type of thing. Because of the hard water, you know, scaling obviously is an issue. And since I'm getting all these new beautiful plumbing accessories put in, what would be an ideal system, and cost-wise as well, too? I've looked at Costco. I've looked at Home Depot and some other ones. I'm sort of kind of lost with what's out there.
You know what? We got your situation out on the table, so we're just going to put you on hold for a second. Come right back with Walter's thoughts on that. It's 9:45.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
With Ken Connors and Walter Assey from Renovco, we're going to bring Lou back in. Lou, we set up your situation. You, the last thing I think you said going into the break there is you did a little shopping around. You went to Costco, right?
They have one of their systems there. I looked at some other systems as well that would actually be set up from the direct water inlet from the house as well. But there's so many different price ranges out there and stuff. There's only two of us in the house. We are in a three-floor townhouse. Hmm. Water consumption is very, very average and stuff. But, you know, when you're spending so much on getting new plumbing fixtures and everything like that, you want to have them last a little bit longer. And the water is hard here, as in most places, Montreal.
Mm. Okay. Where do you live in what area?
In Saint-Laurent.
Saint-Laurent. Okay. So, I mean, just for the listeners, water softeners usually replaces the dissolved calcium and magnesium responsible for the hardness in water with either sodium from sodium chloride, which is essentially table salt, or potassium. So the system typically used to equalizing the drinking water from back to a point, it's neither soft or hard, it's a higher quality drinking water and for washing and so on and so forth. The water conditioner that you're referring to, it's a fancier version of a water filtration system, which has not have been proven to actually lessen the hard water. So if you would put a filtration system, you might still experience hard water, because technically it's only filtering down the sediments and if there's any bacteria in the water, it's not going to help you out really in the hardening. There are high-pressure filtration systems with nanotechnology that they claim that they use, they can filter the water and use less hardening and make it less hard. I haven't particulate dried them. That's what their claim is. So I'm not sure to what degree they succeed in doing so. But it's important that we distinguish between the two. The softener is really there to make the water less hard, and that's what your issue is. It's not particularly the thing. So any water filtration system will work. I like the softening system. I like the one from that you know that you put on the main valve, and you know it works from there. And you know the only thing is you have to maintain it and add salt to it every now and then and what have you, and that's fine. And
filter cartridges too, I believe, also have to be changed depending on the system. Yes,
That's right. Now there's many, like you said, there's many ranges. The one that I've seen, I think it's called Kinetico or something like that. That one is affordable. They have a 10-year guarantee. That might be one option. But you know, they all work. It's not a very difficult or complicated technology. It's just, you know, go from the source and deal with it from there, so that when you open any tap in the house, you're taking a shower, you're, you know, drinking water, that will be taken care of. You don't have to worry, you know, because when the water is hard, it's like hard on your clothes. Mm-hmm. It's hard on even the drinking water. Doesn't taste the same when you take a shower. So my advice to you is go with a central one rather than one that you would put in certain areas.
Okay.
You don't necessarily need to go with the most expensive. Really, it's like I said, just look for a good warranty. And the technology is there. It's not that complicated.
Perfect.
All right, Lou.
Thank you much, guys. Take care.
Have a great Saturday. 953 from the text line at 514-800. I don't know if you can help out this person. I'll tell you what the text says anyways, Walter. Can you please refer someone to assess a mold situation in an upstairs duplex bathroom? It's an automatic fan switch, and the ceiling has been cleaned and painted over more than once, but the black mold spot just keeps coming back.
It is an issue. Many things could have happened in this bathroom. And when mold comes back, that means there's an underlying issue. Mm. Sometimes it's from the wall cavity itself that is protruding out, and you can clean it until tomorrow and nothing is going to happen.
Right.
Or you have a situation with the fan itself, either that the fan is not strong enough to suck the condensation out, and or it's in the wrong place in the bathroom.
Right.
Some people think, for example, that the best place to put a fan is right on top of the shower on the ceiling, which is not really the best place. You want it to be as central as possible, yet you want it to be close enough to the shower.
Right.
Meaning if you have a 15-foot by 10-foot bathroom and your shower fan is all the way in, you know, in the entrance of the bathroom, very far from the shower, then you're not really going to have issues like that. So, in other words, number one, we're going to check the strengths of the fan, and we're going to check if the fan is exhausting to the outside. More often than not, we find that there's a fan, but it's just decorative. There's no duct attached to it, and it's just blowing into the attic, causing mold in the attic, which in essence affecting also the bathroom ceiling in the process. Mm. So there is a lot to look at. I mean, we could send a technician to look at that a bit more in detail, but there's many, many things that that would have to be looked at the same time.
All right. Going to bring in Linda from Dorval. Linda, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
You have a suggestion about one of our other calls?
Yeah, I also have the issue where my water will be cold at first, go warm, and then go back to cold, mm-hmm. but I know what causes it. It's because my cold water line passes through. So the water sitting in the pipe gets warmed in the basement. I have a radiator system, and I guess the cold water line passes near the pipes for the radiators, so my heating system. So it's sitting in the pipe. It warms up. When I turn on my water, it's the closest to the kitchen is still cool, but the stuff coming up from the basement is warm. So I just have to let it run longer a bit in the winter.
But let me ask you, has this always been the problem, or it happened over years?
No, this only happens in the winter because when the radiator pipes that go around the perimeter of my basement to feed the radiators also have hot water in them, right? So the basement is quite warm from the radiator pipes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have any heating in the basement, but my basement is the toastiest place in the house.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that makes sense. In her case, what the mystery is that it just started occurring recently. So that's
two months since heating season started.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm saying before, the years before that, she didn't have that problem.
Yeah, so possibly. Anyway. Yeah.
But thank you for that. That actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Thanks, Linda.
Okay.
Bye.
Now. Bye.
Bye. 514-790-0800, the number to call. Jimmy, is Donna calling for the Home Improvement Show? A quick one? Yeah? Okay. Thank you very much. He's giving me the finger. The wrong one. Donna?
Yes, hello.
I got about 2 minutes, if you don't mind, but you have an issue with your toilet?
Well, whenever we flush the toilet, we live in a condominium, we're on the top floor. Once the toilet tank fills up, we hear a knocking noise of the pipes in the wall. And we don't know what it is, and could it be just our condo, or could it be something from all the way down to the bottom in those pipes?
Mm.
So that is usually what you call water hammering, and it could be coming from the shutoff valve of the toilet. So what you could do just to make sure that it's not that, or it could be that potentially, it could be just you need to change the washer in there or check it out. Try to open and close that valve.
Okay.
And then try it again. If it keeps on happening, then you either need to change the washer on the actual shutoff valve of the toilet, or you need to put a water hammer arrester, depending.
Would that go on to where the pipes come into the condo or onto the toilet where that is? Because both toilets do it in both different rooms.
Okay, so, I mean, if they were installed at the same time and the rubber, the washer have dried up, that could cause it. Or sometimes just because it's not open the whole way. So, you know, what you're doing is you're restricting the airflow.
Okay.
Try both, open and close. And, you know, most people don't know that. But shutoff valves, if you ask the manufacturer,
right,
they have a five-year shelf life. So every 5 years, they need to be checked or replaced.
Okay, thank you.
And if that doesn't work, water hammer arrester.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Donna.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Walter, thanks for a great hour.
Always a pleasure, bud. Always a pleasure.
You delivered as always. Thank you very much. Lisa standing by with the car show right after the news, which is next here on CJAD 800. I'm Ken Connors. That's Jimmy G sticking around. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning as of 6:00.